Today on Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. But first, he's here to tell us about an upcoming important date.
This is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to invite you to join me and thousands of other Christians across these United States on July 5th for the National Call to Fall prayer gathering. You might be asking, what is the Call to Fall? Well, first of all, you can find out more by going to calltofall.com. And right there at that website, you can click on and you can register your name. There's no other commitment than for you to just register your name and join us in mass, in group, as we unite from churches across these United States to pray on July 5th. And here's what we're praying for, that the Lord would have mercy on us, that the Lord would have forgiveness bestowed upon us as believers, as churches, as Christians, as a nation, and that God might heal our land. This is truly a grassroots effort. It is not being generated by any denomination or any specific group of people. This is simply believers in need crying out to God that He might have mercy on us. My friend, America is going in the wrong direction. And maybe you agree. You know, so many people today are asking God to get out of the classrooms, to get out of the courtrooms, to get out of our culture. Now, what if God would heed their request? Could you imagine what would happen to this country? Every day we live by the grace of God. But what if God lifted His hand of protection and provision for this nation? I hope that doesn't happen. God is looking for people to stand in the gap to pray. And so will you join me and thousands of others on July 5th? I hope so. You can make that commitment by going to calltofall.com. Call2fall.com. Sign up. And I'll see you in spirit before the throne of God on July 5th. God bless you.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 13, where Samson is mentioned. Now, Samson was a man used of the Almighty, to be sure. But he had a bit of a problem. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his series called Staying Fit for the Master's Use.
You might want to write it down. It's a self-control exercise. You know, Paul told Timothy that physical exercise profits a little bit. He didn't say it profited nothing. Paul said if you work out, it will profit you a little bit. We all know that, right? Everybody over 30 knows this, that if you work out, it will profit only for a little bit. If you're younger, you say, no, man, dude, I can be pumped all month. I work out. Well, listen, enjoy it now, buddy, because when you reach 30, something begins to happen. And God's word comes true. Physical exercise profits a little bit. But godly exercise profits much. And we need to remember that as we consider what we're looking at tonight and this series of staying fit for the master's use, because that's what we want to do. So tonight we're only going to cover the first three verses of chapter 14. So look there with me, if you would. And we're looking at lesson number 5, the self-control exercise is what we're calling it. Verse 1, now Samson went down to Timnah. Whenever you're going in a bad place, it's always down. He went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his mom and dad. He went back home saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go down and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Hear mom and dad's counsel there? You can kind of feel it. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me. That's probably exactly how he said it. the first words recorded out of Samson's mouth, this, the ninth judge of Israel, the last one, a man who God called from his mother's womb, a Nazarite, devoted, dedicated, presented to God by his parents, first words of his out of his mouth is, I saw a woman and I gotta have her. And this guy's life, from this moment on, is up and down, absolutely stuff that ought to be made in a movie right away, because it sounds just like today in the day and age in which we live in. The issue is self-control. Everything about his life begins to scream at us that he's a man that is being led about by his passions, by his eyes, and by his very thoughts, and the things that he wants as his desires. I saw a woman. Not only did he just see a woman, but he saw a woman who was a pagan worshiping Philistine. And mom and dad try to tell him, can't you get a girl? Can't you get a good Jewish girl from my own neighborhood, please? And he says, no, I want her. I saw her. And what we're going to be looking at, first of all, regarding self-control, is the issue of the eyes. So will you mark that down regarding, number one, our exercise in self-control is self-controlling our eyes. Our eyes will get up and get away from us if we're not careful. And I got news for you right now. Class, church, listen up. You and I, in and of ourselves, have no power to control our eyes as we live this life without Christ, without the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't do it. I'm here to tell you. You might say, well, I can do it. You can't do it without Jesus. It's not possible. See, what do you mean control my eyes? And listen, because Samson's a guy, there may be kind of a bias or a slant coming from the guy's perspective, but it's gender neutral, or I should say gender broad in application. Doesn't matter if you're a male or female, or if you're confused tonight, it's going to apply to you. Lust, eyes, desire, passion, these things that are native to us in this world, in this life, what are we to do? God gives us the answer. Self-control in our eyes. Verse 1, it says, now Samson went down to Timnah and saw. Circle that in your Bible. He saw. He looked. He was watching. He was on the prowl, on the hunt. Whatever the word is today, you insert the word. He went out to go get some, whatever that is. He's looking. And he goes down to an area where he knows he ought not to be going. That's why the Bible says he went down. Remember when Abraham decided to panic and disobey God? He went down to Egypt. Isaac does the same thing, and he goes down and commits the same crime that his father did. When Jonah, remember Jonah? He went down to Joppa to catch a boat to head out of town. Whenever you go down, there's a lot of things associated with that. And one of the things that we're looking at right now is controlling our eyes. Samson has this age-old problem that plagues the human race, and it's that he saw something, and it grabbed him. It took hold of his eyes. Now, first of all, understand this. We are creatures made, certainly fallen. Look, God didn't make us this way in sin. Mom and Dad, that is Adam and Eve, took us in that direction. But don't blame them, because if you and I would have been there, if it would have been, you know, Jack and Lisa. If it would have been Jack and Lisa instead of Adam and Eve, we would have been the ones that would have messed it up. Okay? Remember that. Adam and Eve were amazing. Temptation overtook them. Remember, they were made in perfection, but they had that ability to make a choice, and they chose wrongly, and you and I have inherited their sinful DNA. Now, in our eyes, and the way that we're made up, the eyes are connected, of course, to our processes of the brain and our imagination and our thought life. We are biological machines, but we are also spiritual machines. And when we see something, imagine for a moment, this is a machine. But when I see something, the process of that bounces an image onto the back of my brain. You can see the little film turn on. And there's this picture that Jack's looking at. And what happens? It gets the juices going, the brain begins to imagine, and stuff begins to happen. What was kind of mystical or almost, you know, air-like not tangible, becomes a real tangible feeling. What in the world is going on? Please, if you're an evolutionist tonight, I'm not joking, if you're an evolutionist tonight, you got to think about that for a minute. Now, girls, you watch these Miss America things, I guess, making of an American model or something, or there's a the Gucci is having a model program, a model thing. You know, the models, they grab the coat, they put it over their shoulder, and I can't even do it. I'll throw my back out. But they'll walk the way they walk like that, and these girls are now look. I'm not saying this to offend anybody. I have nobody in my mind, but they're look at the clothes and look at that and all this stuff. Look the. The clothes are hanging on these girls, and you've got to qualify to be such a person. You've got to be like, you know, somewhere between 6 to 9 feet tall, very, very thin. These girls are most sad, so sad. Many of them are drug addicts because they're consumed with keeping this weight down. And everybody's looking at the clothes, okay, and they're a model, and they make all this money and all that stuff, big deal. Let me tell you something right now. A guy doesn't care. Girls, a guy doesn't care about that. He doesn't care that she's walking down the aisle with the jacket. He doesn't care. Why? Because Satan knows how to hook people. And for the woman who wants to buy that $5,000 dress, it's paraded in a certain way. Are you with me? But for the man to be hooked or to be lured in, it's paraded in a different way, isn't it? But the gate is the same gate. It's the eye gate. And I want to tell you something right now. Parents of young boys specifically, beware. I'll tell you something right now that maybe no one's going to tell you. You may be in this age, you may have a 12-year-old boy and your house is clean of naughty stuff. But the moment the Penny's magazine or mail out comes, it doesn't have to be Victoria's Secret mail out. I'm telling you right now, when you're 12 and 13 years old and there is a bra commercial printed in the local community, that drives a little guy crazy. And I'm telling you right now, and every guy in here is silent because I'm revealing secrets, secrets of the underworld. It's every 12, and those of you who can remember back that far, 12 years of age, something clicked. Boop. What is that? And, you know, we laugh, but I'm telling you right now, bathing suit magazines, all that kind of stuff, you think, oh, look, it arrived in the Sunday paper. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it goes right into the eye gate, and it begins to dance around in the kid's head, and he's only 12, 13 years old. The hormones that are flowing, the pictures that are being processed are not normal. It's insanity, and it can really, really hurt somebody. But you and I, boy, do I sound like I'm 150 years old or what? Because it's absolutely amazing. Why? We have been taught in our culture, our godless culture, that we have no ability to exercise self-control. In our culture, there is the disciplines that we can employ, but we're not taught those anymore. But when it comes to fighting the spiritual fight, only Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit at work in your life can keep you holy and pure. And many times the people who put on a show of being the most holy are the ones who are the most at violating these things because they're void. They're great legalists, or maybe they're involved in some big cult and they announce this and that and purity and the other and we don't do this and we have that and they're the worst. Why? They have no Spirit of God empowering them. It's a very dangerous thing. He saw this woman. Jot it down if you would. And by the way, I encourage all of you to write these verses down. And the younger you are, the more you ought to write them down. In fact, if you're the younger you are, you should write them 3 times on a chalkboard. 1 John 2:15-16. 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world," listen, "the love of the Father is not in him." Hey, you're not going to heaven unless the love of the Father is in you. John's being very nice there. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," ooh, that feels good, "the lust of the eyes I want that woman. I want that guy. The pride of life, my car is bigger than your car. My house is on the higher hill than your house. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. If that's what's driving you, John says the love of the Father doesn't live in you, but rather the love for the world lives in you, and the things of the world you'll pursue. Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6, is that very thing lived out in someone you and I know. Then the serpent, Satan, speaking through the serpent, said to the woman, that's Eve, you will not surely die if she disobeys God, right? For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. I want to be open-minded. Oh, come on, Eve, don't you want to be open? God knows the day that you're all opened up, that you'll be like God. You want to be like God, don't you? Can you imagine how he must have sounded when he spoke? Remember, Eve was perfect at that moment. His subtlety must have been incredible. Knowing good from evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, we can hear that justified any day now. I want her. I saw that she's really good. Isn't that what Samson's saying? I've got to have him. I'll lead him to Christ. Your charms are more evangelistically effective in leading someone to Christ than the Word of God and Holy Spirit. That's amazing. Oh, but I'll just lead him to the Lord with my devotion to God. Watch out. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that it was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and this is the saddest thing, guys, isn't it? She also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Why didn't he say, keep it? But he ate it too. Both of them then lost. Jesus warned about this in Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman or a man, insert whatever, to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You say, that's ridiculous. No, this is from God's perspective. You understand the indictment that is going on here. If you look at somebody and go, wow, God says, I saw that. I heard that. See, our justification is nobody heard it. Nobody saw it. God says, I saw that. Jesus said, if you look at someone and lust after them in your heart, you've committed adultery. Listen to this carefully. For if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you to lose one eye that one of your members should perish than your whole body should be cast into hell. Now, Jesus is not saying pluck out your eye physically if you have a bad thought. Who in the world would have any eyeballs left? Look at that guy. He's got one eye. Wow, what a trooper. I'm sure. Oh, you would be blind. He's not saying pluck your eye out. He's announcing blacken it from the things of this world. Blacken it to the allurements of this world. Why? Because things, listen, everything that you and I have to contend with in this world, Jesus said, listen, blacken your eye to that because it's going to ruin you. You say, Jack, man, you're crazy. What's wrong with a little look? Let me tell you, buddy, it all starts with a little look. And ladies are going, I don't get that. Men are definitely more visually stimulated than ladies. I understand that, and that's a fact. Ladies, you're suckers for words. Did you know that? That's why, have you ever seen some guy? He's as ugly as sin, and she can be as beautiful as get out. And you go, how did he get her? That guy, he's nice. He's nice. But guys are visual. I don't care. You're going to tell me later, Pastor Jack, I find that highly offensive. I'm a very educated man. I'm very educated. I have a PhD. Oh, you know what? Save it. You're visually stimulated. Hey, listen, husband and wife in here tonight, somebody engaged, whatever. Or you're thinking, no, you don't think she's cute. Hey, listen, that's how it all starts. Both for good and for bad. Are you a Christian? Yep. Are you engaged? Are you married? Are you thinking about asking that Christian girl out there? Yep. How did that ever come about? 99% of the time it's, she looks good. God put that in you. God put that in creation. That's why you see those poor, pathetic, you see those lizards dancing in front of the girl lizard? The guy's like, take me, will you go out with me? The guy's like trying to, and the male species of the animal world, are they not spectacular looking and beautiful? And she's like, she doesn't care. It's amazing. And the human, we look and it's like, oh, we have to be careful though, to guard our eyes. If you trust God, he will give you the power, and there's a way to trust him that is in his word, applying his word, we'll get to it. And that application of the word gives you strength to resist the temptation. When you see somebody coming and you know that they're attractive in your mind, it's like, oh man, he's really, or she's something. Look away. Get busy about something else. Make a U-turn and go down some other street. I'm dead serious. You got to fight this. If you give up, you go down to Timnah. And you get messed up with some uncircumcised Philistine camp of pagan worshiping crazies. Job said, this is great. Everybody get ready. All men, pull out a pen, write it down. Girls, pull out a pen, because the men won't. Write this on the forehead or the right hand and the left hand of any male within writing distance. Just don't lose an eye. Job 31:1. Job was an old man when he said this. Old man. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? The word in Hebrew is, why should I look upon a young woman and desire her? Job knew that was a problem. So what did Job do? Dear God in heaven above, I make a covenant with my eyes. Hey, any young people in here? Dear God in heaven, I make a covenant with my eyes. Lord, keep me true to it. Keep me firm on that. Old guys, Job announces it for us. You got to do it even when you're old. I told you guys before, we had a wonderful patriarch of this church who's now with Jesus, 96 years old, walks into my office and he's crying. He's crying, he's crying. I thought someone died. I said, what has happened? And he said, I've been having these horribly erotic dreams for 2 nights and I can't stand it. When am I going to be cleansed and pure? And how old are you? 96. Listen, you and I will not be pure in our minds, cleansed, free from temptation, clearly, until we're dead.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a mini-series taken from the 13th chapter of the Old Testament book of Judges, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack's teaching series called Life and the Bible. It's a collection of presentations by our teacher on DVD, and some of the subtitles, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job. And recently we told you about being a Christian while being a husband. Well, now we're telling you about being a Christian while being a wife. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you Pastor Jack's presentation on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Ask for it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.